Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. Today, we are back with our coverage of episode 8 of Peacock's Own Vampire Academy. And Bingetown's Own Vampire Academy, because we love the show. This episode was really good. My favorite thing was the queen just absolutely having a ball. This queen was like, this is the funnest shit of all time. I'm just gonna like have chaos in front of me. It's totally Hunger Games. The crowds were going wild. I love it. The music in this was like clubbing, twerking. Like every time it comes on, I'm like, it's so good. The music in this whoever scored this was great. But overall, I love the episode. What'd you think?
Yeah, that's a trademark of a Julie Plex show. The music was always on point in Vampire Diaries. So I held it to a high bar and they're killing it here. And yeah, the Royals really do like to get down with their kind of just like thumping bass music. Doesn't matter if they're electing a new monarch, but the episode as a whole was pretty good, I think. I don't even know how to rate it compared to the others. I can tell you that it wasn't my favorite. I was the one that sent the tweet from the Bingetown account that got some love. Yeah. And that was... I don't think I could put into words how I was feeling more. I was just so disappointed in Dimitri. Like every decision he made this episode, I was just like, oh, come on, dude, just turn it around. But yeah, so he's going through it right now. And that was a little frustrating to watch. But overall, you know, the stakes are still high. We saw Sonya. That was a wild way to end this episode. But maybe I did like this episode now that I'm talking about it. There was a lot to like. So, yeah, I'm just excited to get into it. Paul, how about you?
Yeah, a bunch of no like huge moment except like the end reveal, obviously. But there was like a bunch of like really good moments here and there. Sorry if I sound a little different. There's so many Philadelphia sports that are winning lately that it's hard to keep up with all the yelling. But yeah, the vibe I was getting from this episode is nobody can be happy. That was about it. Like everybody's like sad, depressed, alone. Like nobody. Yeah. Besides the queen. Exactly what you were saying, Kev. Yeah. She's like, dude, it's fucking fight night. Like, let's get it. it was awesome. Trials, you know, it was cool. Yeah. It could have been a little bit cooler, but obviously that wasn't like the main point of the episode. So I didn't really mind that we didn't waste a whole lot of time on like the craziness of like the first one. But it was a, definitely advances the story in like a, oh shit, how the hell is this going to end up way now?
Last thing I want to say is it was a really good episode for Mason, who I've been hating on in our previous coverage, but strong episode for him.
Good day to be a Mason fan, which I am.
For sure. Yeah.
I was a bigger Dimitri fan than Mason, and I'm just going to, I'm in complete denial of what happened, or I'm a genius for my theory coming up. So,
all right, we'll get to it. This episode was all over the place in terms of the scenes just rapidly ripping through characters, no real buckets. So we're going to bucket them ourselves. So as we go through, it might seem like we're jumping around, but it's really just to get cohesive conversation going. But we'll start at Sonia's victim, the feeder on the ground, absolutely gnarled neck. It's not just two bite marks. It's like she was chomping on that neck. She was really eating at that carotid. You know what I mean? Yeah. But Victor's keeping this a secret, like fully every turn. He's like, you just missed her. I was on the phone. She's been shopping all day. She's having a great day. She was at Starbucks. He's just like lying constantly. And it's like, since when has Sonia ever just been like off on her own, like where no one can find her? You know?
Yeah. Like what was his end goal here?
Robert and Mia knew something was up, I feel like, but Victor just probably had too much on his plate with the candidacy and everything that he was just trying to like fake it till he made it. And he was really, I feel like he was partly trying to convince himself that Sonia's okay. Just like get through this election, whatever. We'll deal with Sonia later. Fingers crossed she's okay. But
well,
yeah, I didn't like the lying.
My thing I was getting from this is like, what's your plan here, buddy? Like, you needed Sonia to survive. Like, you needed her healing constantly, unless you're going to have like another like health attack. I don't even know what it is, but it's something in his head. But it's like, all right, if Sonia's gone, you're not going to be able to heal. So what are you going to do? Get on the throne and die like 2 weeks later? So I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But we'll get to it more because it's going to come back to bite him in the absolute ass. So the queen is having a grand old time running the trials. Like we said, she's cracking me up this episode. She announces that the first is a physical test, right? It's a, what do they, she call it?
They battled the elements.
Yeah. Physical endurance and braving the four elements.
Yeah. It was more like a miming competition because they were both like fighting the wind or whatever, but it literally just looked, they were like in a Marceau movie.
They really brushed over the first trial. We like see them in the middle of it and then they just say, oh, Tatiana is the winner, and they never really fully described why like smoke is coming out of that pillar to signify someone winning. That was kind of weird, but I was about it.
It was a decently cool signal. You know, it's like the Pope, whenever the Pope gets announced, stuff like that.
So Tatiana wins again, very brushed over. We come in the middle of it. And then later we get that the next one is trial by proxy, which is so fucking sick. I actually really enjoyed both the proxy and the reverie one later. I really enjoyed both of those. But for now, let's hop away from the trials for a second to Rose just being absolutely like banged up at a bar. She is just getting fucked up. She's seeing Shragoy. And then our boy Mason comes to the rescue for the first time tonight. He did have a really good episode. I love Mason. I love that boy.
Yeah, this episode, they were just highlighting that he is like the good guy in all of this. You know, if Dimitri's like the bad jacked guy, Mason's just like your best friend, you know, that you probably want to friend zone, but he's always there for you.
I was definitely saying earlier, like, I hate love triangles because one gets hurt. And I was thinking Mason's definitely going to be the one that gets hurt. But fuck, man, Mason might be the happy one. And like Dimitri's fine. He can handle it. He's a rock. He can get hurt.
Yep. So moving forward to Meredith and Christian, they're trying to hone in on Christian's like battle skills with his fire. So that's what they're doing. They're in training. Meredith's kind of sad about Mia. She's asking about her. She's obviously been MIA at that point. Later, we get a scene with them together, Mia and Meredith, for the first time. It's weird to me that they just like haven't really seen each other for a while. I know they say like, she's been busy with Victor in the trials, but Meredith's basically, her whole thing is that she thinks Mia's going back to her old ways of being like with the Richie Rich gang, and she doesn't like it that much. But I'm like, I'm kind of like, Meredith's just scared and like judging her too quickly. I think Mia is genuinely just helping her dad.
It was okay for her to have those concerns, but then when they finally got to meet face to face, Mia was just like, oh my gosh, life's been crazy. It's so great to see you. And Meredith still like completely blew her off. So like, if she is afraid of Mia leaving her for like the royal life, like she is making that theory come true by giving her the cold shoulder. Like, she's going to turn back into a bitch if she doesn't have you to be her like girlfriend, Meredith. She needs you.
She was definitely leaning into it and like pushing Mia away like that. And I couldn't tell if it was like just insecure or just scared. Like Kathleen was saying, like scared she's going to lose Mia. But I was like, dude, Mia went to the hospital to see you, to make out with you. Like, that's obviously a sign that she wants to smooch some more.
Now with the recent Sonya developments, I feel like Mia's first move is going to go to Meredith and be like, listen, my sister's a Strigoi now. Like, I need you. Like, you are going to be my rock, Meredith. And Meredith's going to be like, oh, okay, Mia, come here. This is not going to last too long, this Mia and Meredith strife.
No, we stand. We stand these two. They'll be together. It'll be fine. And now we have, speaking of love that people are meant to be, Lissa just walks in and blurts out, will you marry me? Like, so romantic. Awesome. I will say that in the previous episodes, I was saying that Lissa's character, the stuff they were giving her was boring me. I think she had a better episode this one. I think, especially the scene later she has with Christian when she kind of breaks up with him, but not. And then the scene she has with Rose in her own, like, the flashback memory. I loved both of those. And I thought Lissa had a come up episode, this one. But the will you marry me thing made me, like, laugh out loud. And then later you get a quick scene with Christian kind of telling Lissa why he broke it off with her in the first place to keep her safe. She realized that Rose knew the whole time as well, which, like, made her like, wow, she's never kept a secret from me. And then the next scene with these two, Lissa's crying, which I thought was a really good scene. She's crying about how she thought about her wedding as one girl does, as all girls do. Mm-hmm. She was thinking about her wedding her whole life. The groom was always a mystery, but Rose was always the constant. Of course, she's having this kind of shotgun wedding. And Rose obviously doesn't even know she has a betrothed. So she's just upset. But Christian comes up like a boss and is like, listen, I know you keep saying like this is just a marriage for... not for love type of deal.
Fake wedding.
Yeah, it's a fake wedding, but for me, it's going to be real and I'll be there for you. And I thought that was really sweet. And I like these two together a lot. And especially at the end, I was like, this can't last through the season. Again, just like you said with me and Meredith, I'm like, they're going to be back together by the end of the season. What'd you guys think about that whole spiel?
So in one of the scenes, Lissa kind of, what do I have in my notes? She essentially acknowledges that Rose is always there defending her, like, and she's really done nothing for herself. She's like, oh, once again, Rose is just protecting me with this whole, like, conspiracy theory that the Guardians are working out, and, like, I'm once again out of the loop, and she's just trying to protect me. That was, like, my biggest thing with Lissa. I'm just like, she doesn't really do anything, and she just needs everybody else for help. So to see her acknowledge that and be like, I want to get myself in the game, that's big thumbs up for Lissa from me. But then it was kind of boneheaded where she was just literally talking to Christian saying, I always imagined Rose would be there. And now I just feel so lonely. And he's just like, girl, like, you're getting married to me. We're in this together. You are not alone, you idiot. So like, come on, Lissa, just like stop being so emotional, like lean on Christian, lean on your boys, but like also don't lean on them too much. I'm so judgmental of Lissa. It's probably unhealthy, but like I am. Yeah. She's our protagonist, you know, I expect a lot.
She's also been through like 7 different traumatizing experiences. So like the big thing was that Christian even asked like, oh, what was with that list of eligible candidates? And she was like, well, it turns out you have just enough Dragomir blood to like get my quorum back. So that was cool. I didn't think he was like Dragomir at all, but that's really cool.
How do they know that? How do they know that he, what amount of blood he has? You know what I'm
saying?
Like,
I mean, 23 and me.
Yeah.
Except for vamps. I guess they just have crazy family trees and all the history and like boil it down, but it's nuts.
Another quick lore thing. This world is steeped with lore. The lore is in order for them to get married, they have to perform these 3 rites, blood marking ceremony under the eyes of monks, which I had tweeted. And then someone on Twitter had forwarded me another like popular Vampire Academy tweet that this was just like Damon and Rhaenyra's wedding. The blood, I was seeing so much blood on people's faces and the shows we're covering recently. Midnight Mass has got blood all over them as well. So that was cool. Then we got exchange of gifts to where Christian says easy enough. And then ceremonial announcement of betrothal, which was so good at the trials by proxy, which I fucking loved. I thought that was like such a, I mean, Christian being like, you're going to be mad at me. Like right before I'm like, just keep it to yourself. Just get the girl and then tell her.
Yeah. I appreciate it because she could have been a little upset. So she finds out afterwards that, like, you know, my parents killed your parents and family. But, like, he was trying to do the right thing. But exactly, it's just the worst moment. And what I was going to say earlier was, who do you guys ship harder as a couple, Christian and Lissa or Mia and Meredith? Because we were just talking about both these couples and how much we love them both.
I need Mia and Meredith to have more, because, you know, I'm biased as hell. As the Bingetown queer, I love these two. They're the best. But Lissa and Christian are like Romeo and Juliet, right? They're not supposed to be together. They can't be together, but they're eventually going to end up together. And I really like it. I think I like Christian's side of it more than I like Lissa's, honestly. Lissa's just like, whatever benefits her, she's like, okay. It doesn't feel to me. But I still like Lissa. So I guess I'll say Lissa and Christian. That was really long-winded. Brian, what do you think?
I think Meredith and Mia, their relationship is just easier. Christian and Lissa, like, every single time they want to be together, they're just like, oh, this is in the way. This is in the way. Meredith and Mia, just like, be together and let it be easy. You two like each other. Like, I'm digging it. I ship them both. Both are,
yes, correct,
approved couples in my eyes.
I will say that we're not getting there yet, but in the trial by proxy, when people are getting announced, like during, before we even get to Christian and Lissa, you're just kind of like looking at these clowns in the ring. Like, it's wacky. A lot of the couples that they announced were same sex, or at least one was same sex couples, like lady, blah, 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 and lady, blah, 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 which I was like, go off. I love that this world is very like willy nilly. Who cares about sexual orientation and who's with who? I like that a lot about this, their little kingdom. There's not much I like about the politics of this place, but I do like that.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. It's just like not a factor there. It's like everything is normal. And I love that too, that they were, when they would announce somebody and like it would say like lady and her, like, I forget the actual verbiage,
that's what it was like, that's it was what like they said.
Her mister. It's like not mistress because it's a dude, but like they weren't married. So like they wouldn't say his name and they were just like lady, what, so-and-so and her male guest. It's like, damn, dude, not even saying their name. That's crazy.
Yeah. What? Vampires freak around for sure.
They do.
Yeah.
As they should, as I do.
Sexually forward thinking.
Anyway. So let's kind of switch gears to the Strigoi talk now. This is like season stuff. This is big plot stuff that they're talking about. A lot of it is stuff that we already knew, but I'm glad that our characters are finally coming too. So this is like Meredith, Mason, and Rose discussing the Strigoi and how they're more sentient than people think, and they're planning shit. And I like that they're finally getting together. And then later when Christian jumps in and they're kind of like Christian's like, I think it's my fucking parents eventually, but I love the plotting. And then they're like, what if the accident wasn't an accident? Because basically they're saying these Strigoi attacks were going after every Dragonmere. What the fuck does a Strigoi care about that? They're supposed to be feral. They should be just killing willy-nilly whoever they want, just to feed, just to whatever. But they're actually targeting people, just like they followed them last episode or the episode before around when they shouldn't have been following them because they should be feral. So I'm glad that they were finally coming to, like, what if the accident wasn't an accident? Like, doy, we knew that since day one.
Yeah, but that, and I think it's just important that they're shifting the focus from why are they, like, Christian's parents are trying to get after Christian, and they're just like, wait a second, they're not really targeting him. They've been targeting Lissa, and shifting the focus, like, okay, who has anything to gain from getting rid of Lissa and the Dragomirs as a whole? And in that way, they can kind of like redefine the search, if you will. So they start thinking, okay, it's probably someone from the elementalist camp, and that leads them to, wait a second, maybe Jesse Zeklos, he can get in and out of the wards, maybe he's been the one that's been shuttling these gifts. And that was such a great scene where Christian confronts Jesse.
I was like, I know you're yelling and trying to be intimidating, but like,
Yeah, he's Jesse, not.
Jesse's not having it, dude. Nah. He's just like, dude, I want to get my luggage back in. And it wasn't me, okay? Yeah, that was definitely funny.
I liked the self-aware moment from Jesse to be like, you think I'm going to stick my neck out for somebody? Like, get real. I'm not. You know I'm not. And then everyone's like, yeah, you're right. It could be him. It was good. I hate Jesse, but it was good. I really thought there's two episodes left, so we still could. But I really thought we were going to get so much more character growth out of Jesse. They were like, because I really thought he was going to marry Lissa. Like, I thought that was done. And they really threw a curveball.
Well, Dane, his dad did say that he was going to punish him if the marriage fell through. So I feel like that boot still has to drop, and that could be an opportunity for character growth. Maybe he punches his dad again.
I would love that.
I'm still waiting for the Shyamalanian twist that makes him a good character. Like, we're all rooting for Jesse at the end of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Now here is where all of our blood starts boiling. Tatiana and Dimitri in the church. And this is where you knew they're going to kiss, especially because I was late to watch the episode. And all I was seeing was on Twitter, like, just all the, like, first of all, love all the reactions on Twitter. Love everyone talking to us on Twitter. It's so fun. Love the chat. So thanks for tweeting at us. Keep doing it. We love it. Anyway, they're in the church and everyone's tweeting like, you're going to become a blank hater. Like, they were redacting the name, which was very nice for spoilers. And then Brian tweeted that thing and I was like, fuck, he's going to bang Tatiana. But they're just talking about faith. That's how they're connecting their faith. And basically they're being like, no one comes to the church anymore. And we do. And they're connecting over that. And Dimitri's whole thing is, and you know, on my second watch, which I watched right before this, I was kind of, I had some empathy for Dimitri, especially when he talks to Rose about before the proxy. And he's like, basically like, you have all this privilege. You were raised with a royal Maroi family. That's lucky. Like, I've endured more. I've had to, like, the only thing that's gotten me through it is my faith. So he's really having an internal battle. I don't think my hot take is, I don't think I'm as mad about this as everyone else is, because I think it's because Rose beat him. If he beat the shit out of Rose, I would be like, holy fuck.
Yeah, I think everybody would be.
I think it, I mean, we can kind of open it up, because next is right before the trial is this Rose and Dimitri conversation. So whatever you have to say about the two of them.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let me get in there before Brian rips my boy Dimitri apart. But yeah, like, he's in the church and, like, he was just told last episode that there's, like, another element. And so everything he's been raised and believes in is, like, going to come crumbling down. Like, his faith is basically not true. So, like, he goes to the church and he's, like, praying. He says, like, you know, it's a shame nobody prays anymore. And to be honest, I've been having, like, you know, questioning of my faith. And Tatiana's like, oh, that's so weird. That's like, I'm here and you're here at the same time. Like, maybe it's fate. I need somebody to fight for me. You're a great fighter. That's so crazy. Why don't you just fight for me? And the way that Dimitri says it later on, we don't really see Tatiana ask him. And he says, like, I do what I'm told. So, like, I hope in the back of my mind, she's like, I need you to be my fighter proxy, not like, will you be, and give him the choice? Because if he was given the choice and he still did it, that would have been like, yeah, all right, bro, what the hell?
That's a good point that we didn't see the ask.
That's true. I really liked that Dimitri's initial question to Tatiana when they kind of start a dialogue was, you know, what, you're allowed to be friends with Dampier now? Like, aren't you supposed to not be talking to me or treat me like garbage? And she was just like, hey, that ideology of mine is rooted in faith, the same faith that, like, you revolve your entire life around. So we are kind of like two sides of the same coin here, my ideology and, like, how you compose yourself. And I kind of got to eat crow here, because I've been begging for Dimitri to just be like, stick to his duty above Rose. And boy, we had it on full display here this episode. And I must say, I did not care for it one bit.
Think of your mind, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like, duty and faith are two different things to me, but I feel like in this world, the faith and your duty are one and the same. So yeah, not much else to say about that. I just did not care for Dimitri's reasoning here. I didn't like that he was so easily manipulated by Tatiana, nor how, I guess it didn't happen quick or easily, but like how quickly he let go of Rose like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, right before, I want to get into the fight, but right before that, we just got to say, like, Rose beelining to Victor after she learns that Dimitri is Tatiana's champion. And it is just like, pick me, choose me, love me, like, big beats this guy up in 2 seconds, 50-0, fucking throws him over her shoulder.
She's like, who's your boy? This chump? Whoop. see how quick that just happened?
Literally.
It reminds me of like the Family Guy episode where Meg comes home from prison. She's like, who's the biggest, toughest guy here? And Peter's like, that would be me. She gets a shit beat out of him immediately. It was great. And I was like, fuck yeah, Rose. That was badass.
I know my way around a joke.
Yeah. All right. Who's the funniest?
Yeah.
All right. But I also appreciate Victor. Like, how are you going to say no to that after you just, like, she came in with that fire? She was like, I know how he thinks. I know how he fights. Like, she was definitely the right choice. Plus, you know, the mental mind game totally worked out.
100%.
Perfect. So let's talk about that. He let her win, yes?
Yeah. So what I was getting, if we're already in the, if we're jumping into the trial, mm-hmm. So like he was, when he was telling that story, you know, I was young and then something snapped and then I was just like my father and beat the shit out of him. He like threw one punch and really sent Rose flying. And then he kind of like paused and I was getting vibes like, oh shit, he's like remembering what it felt like to be like that animal. Like he doesn't like himself when he's like that. So mm-hmm. after that one punch, he just kind of like froze up and I was like, fuck, I'm not going to fight back.
That was a finishing punch.
Yeah,
she got up. That was insane. She got up, no blood anyway. She was like good to go. I was like, God damn, Rose, you're a fucking tank.
Yeah, he let the dog off the leash and then he put it right back on the leash after that. He was just like, nope, 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 can't do it. And then, oh my gosh, Rose's finishing move, the like quadruple horizontal spin, like,
yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that. There is no getting up from that kick.
He just closes his eyes and takes it.
Yeah.
Kind of badass in its own way for Dimitri. You know, just making up his mind and sitting there and taking it. But
what do you think about at the end when she was just womping on him and everyone's in the crowd just being like, like it was obviously personal. What? Yeah. Like these two have fucked each other, obviously.
Yeah. I was like, someone gonna stop this? Like there's no referee at all. The queen's just chilling there next to the gong. Like just blood everywhere with every punch. Like that was brutal.
Yeah, it really was. It was brutal. Anyway, so now we're moving past this. Mason, this is one of my favorite scenes and just like a cool world thing. So Mason tricks Rose into talking to Lissa after the fight, right? She's pissed, mm-hmm. but he's like, just fucking do it, okay? He's good for her. He is.
He's like, you're a fucking mess. Everybody knows it. You know, you're a fucking mess. Just go talk to her.
And our girl Silver, who is Jesse Zeklos's ex, is the one who does this like memory walk thing, which is cool. This girl is all over the place.
Same girl?
Same girl, yeah.
That was Silver.
Wow, okay.
And the only reason, yeah. And I actually only knew that and clocked it because I follow her on Instagram and she posted it and was like, Silver's a woman of many trades or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's funny. Cool.
She's got her fingers in a lot of different pots right now. It's pretty really crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that she just lets her like fang marks like fly. It's like hickeys. And she's just letting everybody like see. She like doesn't care. She's not ashamed at all. It's like, all right, fucking Silver, you do you.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that name.
But so go ahead. Do we want to get right into the memory walk? It's kind of cool how they did this scene because they did the memory walk while Tatiana and Victor were doing their thing, which was also kind of like a spiritual look inward sort of event.
Yeah.
And I guess we should just name it. The third trial was called the Trial by Reverie. But yeah, let's go through the memory walk. It was pretty simple. They get like a drop of blood on their tongue and they just lay there. And Silver says it's very important that you like talk it out while you're doing it. That just helps the memory come to the fore, whatever. And we've really already recounted that night, I feel like. So they spent like 4 minutes on slowly them walking from the car to like Dead Rose. And I was like, we've already seen this. This isn't much of a reveal. And then like in the last 15 seconds, they turn around and who was there, but the Strigoi Ozeras are on the scene, just like perusing to see if everyone's dead.
Question. Did you guys know that that was Strigoi Ozeras? Because I just saw this and I was like, oh, it's just a Strigoi. Now we know that like it was a Strigoi attack. And then we got like the big name drop later. And I was like, okay, that later in the episode was the big reveal for me. So I was like, fuck, these are maybe but like, I'm racist towards Strigois, man. They all look the same to me. That's what I was trying to say.
I assumed it was them.
I assumed it was them.
Brian, what'd you think?
It was part assumption. And just being honest, there's not that many Asian people in this world and they were Asian looking Strigoi. So I kind of made that connection.
Yeah. So besides this scene just being kind of a trip, I mean, can you imagine being Rose and Lissa? So well, Brian.
More than that, it seems like the Ozeras are the only Strigoi that have their wits about them. And they weren't like freaking out. They were just calm, slick back hair, just like.
Looking like smart ass aliens.
Yes, they look more composed than regular. So yeah. All of that supporting evidence, I was like, that's our guys.
So, Brian, you kind of like the way you said this is just 4 minutes of something we've already seen. And I totally agree with that. The way I looked at it was like, you got to step into their shoes and think like how fucking trippy and insane and really fucking sad it would be, especially if you're Lissa, whose entire family died that day, and Rose was asked out. She doesn't remember a single thing. Lissa at least remembered a little bit before. Rose has not seen that. So watching your best friend like fucking revive you, you're dead as fuck, and revive, and that's enough for me. And I love Alyssa Rose friendship scene. And this obviously wasn't even enough for Rose to be like, and Lissa to be like, I love you. Rose broke up with her now in the twist of events.
Yeah, right.
She ended up breaking up with Lissa. So
pissed. I was like, I was hoping, you know, after this episode, oh, they do the memory walk. They're going to be girls again. They're going to fight this together. And Rose just was like, you know what? I just hate it here. I'm so annoyed. But yeah, like being Rose and looking down at your dead body, I can't even imagine how you begin to process that. So
insane.
I guess I can't blame her too much for, you know, having this, you know, crisis and, you know, cutting everybody off and running away.
Yeah. So like Brian said, this was cross-cutting with the reveries that was happening. So the queen set like poses a single question, right? Is what it is. And the question is, what must a good ruler possess in order to rule their subjects? You get a flake of Vladdy's blood infused with elemental magic on the tongue.
Nasty.
And then you start hallucinating type of thing. Yep. Go into an old memory. And they need to answer it correctly. So Victor sees this scene of Mia and Sonya Young. And basically what it is like family's everything. How you treat your family says everything about you are, who you are. I wish that we got to see Tatiana's. We did get a little bit that she tells Dimitri later, but I wanted to see what that bitch was thinking about and seeing fully.
So she said to Dimitri, I was expecting or hoping to see someone that I cherished and had lost, but I didn't. Was she alluding to that she saw Dimitri in that vision? Like you were the one that I lust after. Like it's tough not being able to have the things you want.
That's exactly what I was getting. She was like already starting her mind manipulation. I don't think it's true. I think she was just saying that to fuck with him and get revenge sex. But I was thinking that she saw Andre.
That's what I was thinking too.
She was banging Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, why wouldn't that be the best moment of your life?
I wanted to go back to the pilot and see Andre's banging scene again with Tatiana, because if I recall, and it was a long time ago and we knew nothing about nothing in the first 10 minutes of that episode, but I feel like they introduced themselves. Like,
yeah, he had no idea. Yeah. Afterwards, they finished, and then she was like, "I'm Tatiana, by the way."
Yeah, so, right.
So this, if we're already here, if we're already at Dimitri and Tatiana banging, I was, like I'm saying, either complete denial that Dimitri went against Rose like this, or, which I strongly believe, that Tatiana's got some type of, like, elemental ability, whatever you want to call it, that can literally seduce, like, Andre and seduce Dimitri. Because, like, if Lyssa can be whatever, a messenger
spirit user,
I think the messenger part was the part where she can, like, tell you what to do, something like, maybe there's something else, some of the other ones, some elementals, but I'm like, hopefully she's just, like, seducing these dudes and not actually just, like, I don't know, Dimitri completely going against everything out of the blue. Like, that's why I, like, can't accept it, because it came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. That would be a crazy twist. Even if Tatiana has, like, some sort of abilities that she's not letting people know about, that would be pretty cool.
And but yeah, we had that theory of her and Andre. She got pregnant with Andre's kid, and she was going to try to force that into the bloodline. I think that's out the window now. I think it's a little too late. So she would either have a kid or be showing or something.
It is worth mentioning Victor's reverie, because the children were so adorable. It was ridiculous. Like, little baby Mia and Sonia, and Mia just being like this bully to Sonia. Just like, Sonia's a baby, and Victor just being like, nah, she's not a baby. She's just not you, Mia. And the fact that that was, like, his core memory that, you know, was his reverie was pretty cool, that he holds his daughters in that high esteem in his heart.
Well, it's interesting because Sonia was obviously an oddball from the start, right? Like, she was sensitive and whatever all the way back then. Didn't seem like anyone thought anything of Lyssa for that long. Like, she was just a normal girl until they were like, oh, she didn't place in any of these elemental, like, the four elements. So, you know what I mean? It's like, there wasn't anything off with Lyssa besides the fact that she wasn't favoring one of the elements. But it seems like in that reverie that Sonia was obviously, like, a very different child than Mia and then other people, right? Like, Victor's like, we have to be sweet to her, okay? She's different. Like, she's
delicate. Like, she's it's like, all right, kind of like talking down to her when she's right here. But no, I was getting that too, and I couldn't tell if that was just, like, a side effect of being a spirit user, of, like, you're just, you know, sensitive at a young age, or if this was just Sonia, just a kid, a sensitive kid. Yeah. But I honestly don't know. And unless we get more young Lyssa backstory, I don't know if we'll ever see that.
Before we just finish our Dimitri thoughts, let's just talk. So the answer was this. Obviously, Victor wins, and he says, the ruler must possess nothing at all, must be willing to give everything they have in the name of the Dominion. And I was like, well, this feels like, I don't like that. You know, Victor's husband's like, we're talking about this later. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But leadership requires sacrifice for the greater good. He said, you must put your family above everything else, but then says the, you can't have anything type deal. You gotta put everything aside. It's like, damn, you have kids. Fuck.
Yeah. Definitely lost me in that speech for a second. I was like, wait, so you had a memory of your family just to realize that if you want to be a good leader, you need to possibly give them up. Yeah. He was like talking about making a sacrifice for the greater good. And I was like, I don't know, man. Sounds kind of tyranny when you say it like that. But well, I'm sure he has all good intentions.
He says that any Maroi of integrity has to put the family first. But, like, the ruler, the one person in the world who is the ruler, does not have that luxury. It's a unique situation where they can't have anything that they would place above the Dominion. So from that perspective, I think it was the correct answer. And having the memory of his kids would have him acknowledge, damn, these girls are my weakness. And if I want to be a ruler, I need to be able to put them in the back seat for the Dominion. And, you know, it kind of comes full circle when he is presented with Sonia as a Strigoi now.
Yeah. But before we get there, let's just talk about the bang of it all, you know? So, what are our final thoughts on Tatiana and Dimitri? I mean, the the Twitter was popping off. It was making me fucking laugh. People were screaming, throwing shit at their TVs. It really was brutal.
Yeah, I was nauseous.
I was like seeing it coming though, because of all the bad tweets. I was like, I just know he's going to do something bad. I don't think he can't come back from this though. I thought he was going to do something that's like, shit.
Hey, like he has said, I just do what I'm told. And I was, hey, Tatiana told me to bang her. What am I supposed to do? Not stick by my guns. So I don't know. I wanted to puke when I saw it. It was gross. Kind of felt it building, like you were saying, when she was talking about the vision, when he goes to apologize to her and he's like, oh, I'm trying to go to a different like sector. And it's like, shut up, dude. You got punched by a girl a lot. Like, it's totally fine. She's a badass. Don't worry about it. And I swear he got like seduced in that 10 seconds. She was spraying some pheromone or doing something with her elemental magic that just makes him think with his wang. Cause I have no idea why he would ever do that. It's not like they're flirting before. It's not like they had even communication before. He was like, hey, fuck you. You don't like Dan Pierce. So he's got to be seduced.
And he lost the match. So like he was apologizing in the moment too.
Yeah.
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 Well, he also said that he requested to be assigned to a different province. So I wonder if he goes through with that and maybe we have a couple episodes where he's just like in a different location. I also thought it was funny Tatiana puts together, hey, you're in love with that girl, Rose. And it's impressive that you are just completely leaving her behind. If the elements are to be believed, you would make a great king, because that's what like Victor just said a good ruler has to do. And that's really what just fucking sparks it.
I think that I felt okay about it as well, because we're not book readers, right? And from the beginning I was like, I love Mason and I love Dimitri, flip a coin and I'm happy. And Rose ends up kissing Mason later. She says, I need to get the fuck out of here. And he says, and she asks if he'll come, and all of his dreams came true. How can I be that mad when my boy is having the best day of his life? You know, it's like, I can kind of forget and be pissed about Dimitri, but be more happy that Mason got the smooch of a lifetime, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I love that too for Mason, but at the same time, like Rose, they're using this dude a little bit.
Totally.
I was just going to say he is 100% the second choice, and she knew that she could just go right back to him. So I feel like he's getting played.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's probably like, the way this is going, Rose is going to go back to Dimitri, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be apart for a while. 100%. They are still like the main ship. So like Mason's just going to get ticked over again. And I don't want to see that.
Just reverse Mormon, like, both of them and Rose all date, all marry each other. Three-way marriage.
What if Mason dies for Rose and then we get you a girl that can have both?
Bro.
I'm not trying to kill off Mason in order. I just don't want him to have
an unhappy perfectly
ending. You want him to die heroically and then she's depressed and then Dimitri picks her up off the floor.
Nah, because then
I like how you're saying you're rooting for a happy ending and that involves Mason's death.
He doesn't know that he didn't have a happy ending. Like the blow came from behind. He had no idea it was coming. And then so he died in love with Rose happy and she was in love with him too. And then he died and then she grieves for a long time, but then Dimitri picks up the pieces and that book just writes itself.
I'm in.
Yeah. So the next scene that we have is Rose breaking up with Lyssa in a crazy genre bending role reversal from last episode. And I think it's dumb. How can you end of last episode have your entire soul crushed by this news that Lyssa doesn't want you to be her guardian anymore? And then like 24 hours later, just be like, actually, Lyssa, now that you want back in, I'm breaking up with you.
Did she want back in or did she just want to be besties again? Because Lyssa's original proposal was I don't want you to be my guardian, but you're still my best friend and soulmate. Like, you know,
that's
I don't know
true.
If she wanted back in. I think Rose was like, if we're not fully in, then fuck you. I got to just go my own way type deal. Like it's all or nothing for Rose, I feel. And Lyssa upset her deeply. And I think that wound is still gaping, you know, like, I think she's like, wow, that's Lyssa's her like one true love soulmate, even if it's just platonic, it's, it's true. And when the friend is like, sorry, you, especially they made plans their whole life to get the fuck out of there, to be amongst the humans, to go travel the world, to do other things. So all of that came crashing down in a mere 8 episodes. So it's, I don't blame her.
I'm just like, so on the train, like we didn't see Lissa use her spirit power at all, like this episode. And like, even though she quote unquote broke off the relationship with Rose and they're spending time apart from each other, like if Lissa uses her power, Rose is still probably going to get the darkness, right?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I feel like the connection's already made. So it's like, why are you guys pushing each other away? The line is crossed. Why don't you just grind it out together? 100%. So,
yep. I did like the acknowledgement. It happened twice when Dimitri was going on a jog with Rose earlier. He was just like, look, you were raised by the Dragomirs, who essentially raised you to believe that Dampiers are no different from Moroi. And I wish I had that upbringing, but I didn't. All I have is this faith. And Rose kind of like reiterates it in this conversation with Lissa, where she's just like, look, we're getting to an age where we can no longer pretend that me being a Dampier and you being a Moroi isn't an issue. And I think it's time for us to just start acting like what our place in this world is and find our own way together rather than just pretending we can be best friends and nothing will go wrong. So that was like mature of her, I guess. They should still be best friends though, and I'm pissed.
In the first 2 episodes, I feel like it was 2 episodes when they had that like really corny opening, if you recall, of them being like 2 best friends come together, Dampier and Moroi. Like, I feel like it actually was multiple episodes. I don't think it was just the one. I actually didn't even remember that it went away, but it was hilarious. But they're like 2 unlikely best friends change the world.
Yeah.
So they're still going to come together and do the thing.
It was also helpful because in the opening credits, they had like definitions of things that were relevant to the episode. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
they defined Moroi, I think, and Strigoi and shit. So it was very helpful as we were just learning the world. But yeah I kind of forgot about the opening sequence too.
But here's a cool scene. Okay. So Christian's fake mommy, the feeder, whose actual name is Diane. I thought it was Diana. Diane finally catches up with the audience, knowing that she's a sketch bag, right? I mean, finally, we knew she was a sketch bag, which sucks for him. So that's the inside man we find out, which is just a quick little scene, but
still not confirmed. But like,
I guess.
Yeah,
no, definitely. We knew she was sketchy from the get go. We were talking about her last episode, specifically when they're like walking out to the front gate together and he's just pouring his heart and soul out to this microwave oven meal that he was just about to eat. So yeah, I don't know. It definitely makes total sense to me.
And while you say the microwave oven meal, there's a scene where Victor is just kind of like at a dinner table. There's like candles and everything and just like human on the table or like a whatever feeder. And it's so funny. It really was as if it was a meal. Like he was just like, he's like, I'm not hungry type. You know, obviously didn't say that, but it felt very like there was like a cheeseburger in front of him.
Yeah.
But
stabbing him and he's like, stop playing with your food.
Yeah.
That made it seem like these people aren't even people. They're literally food for us. Like they are ants and we are gods. I was like, all right, bro, making them lay down on the table like that.
I know, really, though.
And I guess this scene with the feeder leads us into Christian talking to Lissa in that greenhouse room.
Yeah.
I guess. And this was like an emotionally charged scene because Lissa was just like, hey, Christian, we did the memory walk. Your parents were there. And Christian is obviously overwhelmed by this information, which he was probably thinking may have been a possibility, but to have it confirmed, he was just fuck. Like,
yeah,
he was very upset by this. He probably felt like it will ruin his relationship with Lissa. So I feel for him there. And he just doesn't know what to say, but Lissa is pretty reassuring, says like, your parents aren't you. You can't be held accountable for the choices they made. You yourself are a good guy. But then she goes on to say like, when I envisioned myself getting married, I wanted to be happy and have laughter and music and stuff. But when I look at you because of your parents, like all I see is just like pain and anger and rage. So I guess it was just an acknowledgement she has to work through that. but like she walks away and then goes back and gives him like a very passionate kiss and then leaves for good. So was yeah. that like a, hey, we good, but like, don't turn Strigoi, or was that a goodbye kiss?
I was taking that as, I want to be with you. I just can't be with you right now.
Yes.
Just because I just, like you said, like every time she looks at his face, she's going to see her dead parents. So like, I think she needs to work through that stuff first. Like exactly like you said, Dex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pain and rage. It's all she sees. So she needs a minute, but she wants to party. When she gets with Christian, she wants to be able to fucking party.
Flames not just everywhere.
Not be pissed.
Yeah.
Just like the Maroi do. They like to fucking party. So. But I mean, we already talked about Mason and Rose. So this is the real end scene. I mean, Vic and family are celebrating the win.
Yeah.
And per custom, as the queen says, Tatiana must give a gift. And that gift is a feral Sonia, which was, oh my God, it was so good. I got spoiled. Like Janetta and other people were like posted the picture of her being a Strigoi. So I knew.
Yeah.
I just like, to be fair, I waited. Like it came out on Thursday. I didn't watch till Sunday. So to be fair, but I was to so pumped. To be fair, I was so pumped to see her as the Strigoi in the episode. And I was so upset. It was the last second because I wanted more. And Janetta, girl, I hope you're one of the sentient ones eventually. It doesn't seem like it, though. You seem pissed.
She looked pretty cray. hoping she would be saved by like her spirit user abilities and it would make her like a super Strigoi. But she looked pretty damn regular as far as Strigoi go. She was feral, crazy. And I do have to point out the irony. The queen was just like, it's customary for the runner-up to present a gift to the victor. And the victor's name in this scenario was Victor the Victor. So like, I was just like, oh man, it was meant to be. And yeah, this was a crazy mic drop moment. Tatiana backed into a corner. This is like her last card to play. I'm sure she's just trying to tarnish the name of Victor and the family he comes from and just be like, you can't accept this guy as a ruler. Give it to me instead. So I'm wondering if there's even a discussion to be had by the council. If this is like too irresponsible to look the other way about,
or like, is the line already crossed? Like the trials are done. Like, is Victor in there? Are they going to be like, fuck this? Like the queen has to rule for a little bit longer while we sort all this out. I don't know. I feel like it's literally just Tatiana throwing a fit, like, cause she just lost and now she doesn't like, basically I don't know if this could get her back onto the throne if it's too late, but I could definitely see people being like, yo, this Victor dude should not be here anymore.
What if she marries Dimitri?
I'll puke.
She says you'll make a great king, and she was already planning in that point. In that scene with Dimitri, you can tell that she was not accepting like failure, that she lost. So you could tell she had like a something about her, you know, like the way she said, like, you could be a great king makes it seem like, oh, fuck, she still thinks something. You know what I mean? So I don't know. And then that is not a prediction. That is my worst nightmare. Is what
yeah, well, I'll be sick. Yeah, fucking insane. Like, is what? Is Sonia? Like you're saying, she's not done, right? Like, she's still got much. I feel like she's still got, like, a huge part to play. I want to see if she, like, is actually sentient, like you're saying, but like her face was pressed up against the glass, like she was screaming and shit. She looked pretty beat, but like I wonder if there's a process to slowly regain some humanity or vampanity, I guess.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe like a blood infusion. I don't know.
I have no idea, but like I feel like she can't be done. I feel like she's got some more lines, hopefully, because she's awesome.
Yeah. And that's the episode. So any final thoughts, any predictions other than nightmares?
I'm super excited for like where we start the next episode and how the queen reacts to see it, how everybody reacts to seeing the Strigoi Sonia, really, and what the repercussions are for our boy Victor. Victor's down bad right now. He really was trying to keep that lie going and it just all blew up in his face. I'm kind of expecting Tatiana to try and finagle her way back in there and say he's not fit to be ruler.
Victor's had a tough couple weeks. He keeps like almost dying. His daughter killed someone. He then won, but now lost, basically.
Tough his other daughter, his other daughter's probably going to hate him now that she didn't tell Mia that, you know, her sister wants Strigoi.
Yeah, they were horrified. Holy shit. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That was your daughter. Rough. Anyway, great episode. And that's the episode.
So remember when Sonya was happy with Mikhail back in the day? Look at us now, like a few episodes later.
The good times.
Yeah. I was happy then too.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember when I was happy. 8 episodes, lots of twists and turns. Next week, we'll be back with episode 9 of Vampire Academy. We're so excited. If you like what you heard, go listen to the many other shows we have covered and are certainly covering right now. I don't know where that was going. Midnight Club, House of the Dragon, Rick and Morty. Again, we've got insane range. Those are all over the place. But we've covered all of your favorite sci-fi shows. If you would like want to suggest a show for us to cover, let us know. After these, we're going to have a little bit of a lull, I think. So roll the dice on what fun show we'll cover next. But go listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I'm fucking this one up. You got it. You love us. We're BingeTown TV. And thanks for listening.
Boom.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.